The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are Tyler Creed and Anelia Dimitrova of the Waverly Democrat and Bremer County Independent. Anelia and Tyler, go ahead with your questions.
Good morning, Senator. Good afternoon, I should say. You just came back from the floor voting, and you voted. What did you vote on?
We voted on the issue of bringing to debate and finality at 5:30 on Monday when we get back. It'll be the first vote next week on a judge for the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which includes, I guess, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, that part of the country. And it's it happens to be a Bush nominee for district court, which now has been, that person has been elevated from being a Republican appointee, now being a Democrat appointee to a higher court. And that's what we voted on, yes.
Okay. We were working on the questions for this interview, what happened internationally. Of course, caught our attention, the Malaysian Airlines story. Have you been briefed?
I have not been briefed in the sense of having people from either the Defense Department or the State Department or our other departments that might be briefing it. But there was a discussion in a caucus meeting I was just at where these questions came up. There really weren't any answers. Could it be Ukrainian rebels shooting it down? Could they have thought that it was a cargo plane that was bringing supplies to Donetsk, there where the rebel, Kyiv government's trying to get them out? Or is it just a simple airplane accident? And so everything that I've heard is speculation.
So we're looking at your Twitter feed a little bit. Do you write your own tweets?
Yes, I do my own tweets. I don't do my own Facebook. My staff does the Facebook, and I do the tweets. Yes.
We noticed that you're very popular on Twitter. We noticed that you are on the panel almost 77,000, right?
Yep. Yeah, I think I just crossed 77,000 followers, yes.
77,000 followers, and you follow almost 15,000 people. We wondered, and we also compared your Twitter feed with Senator Harkin's and looked at the numbers that way, and it looks like you have almost quadrupled the amount of, he has 20,000, you have 77,000. So the question is, now that Senator Harkin is retiring in 2015, and you've worked together for a long, long time, what kind of relationship will you miss? What kind of working relationship will you miss with him when he's not?
Yeah, I'm glad to respond to that because that's a very appropriate question and one probably in the next 2 or 3 months I'll be asked a lot about. And I've thought about this not just recently because of his retirement. So what I'm saying to you, I could say to you even if he weren't retiring. And that would be that we've, in the 34 years we've worked together, well, actually, you could say we came to the Congress at the same time. I served just 6 years in the House and came to the Senate. He served 10 years there and came to the Senate. So he and I have been in Congress every day in one House or the other. But at least since he's been in the Senate, because I don't recollect about the House relationship now, but in the United States Senate, on a personal basis, we've had a very friendly relationship. On national issues, I think we've respected each other's opinion, but we have almost diametrically opposed voting record, except maybe in the area of agriculture or defense. Maybe even education. But in most other areas, he has a very liberal record. I have a very conservative record. When it comes to things dealing just with Iowa, which would include the agricultural issue, but it would also include, when we're working on natural disasters or we're working on formulas for Iowa, We work very, very closely together. Another area, and maybe the last one I'll mention, where we've had a very close relationship, or maybe a better way to say it is great respect for each other's opinions and what each of us want to do, which would be when we have a Republican president and the Republican president would nominate judges. Or let's put it this way, when I have a chance for a Republican president to make recommendations to a Republican president for judges, for U.S. attorneys, and for U.S. marshals, Senator Harkin would back my nominees. Now, like now with Obama, but also under other Democrat presidents, when Obama would nominate judges, or let's put it this way, Senator Harkin would have the right to suggest names to President Obama for judges, U.S. attorneys, and U.S. marshals, then I supported his efforts. And it's worked out very well, and there has not been one area of dispute there.
Are you going to miss him?
The answer is from the standpoint of mutual respect that we have for each other, which I think most people in Iowa would probably think, since we're so different, that I wouldn't be saying that. But I respect him for how he's been able to get along with me, and I hope he respects me for the same reason, and I think he'd probably tell you the same thing. That's what I honestly believe.
So going back to the Twitter feed thing, the cell phone bill recently, I think it just passed, do you expect the cell phone bill unlocking consumers from one cell company to meet opposition in the House?
No. I think it's going to be very well received. It was so bipartisan. In fact, you know, it passed on a consensus basis here 48 hours ago in the United States Senate. And very few bills pass on a consensus basis. Didn't even have to have a roll call. It got out of committee without any opposition. And it's a Grassley Leahy bill, so it's a bipartisan sponsorship. And it's very pro-consumer. And it's pro-consumer in a way where there's been so obvious abuse of consumers by the big telephone companies that there's little doubt that things like this need to be corrected.
I have one other question, Senator, and this is going to the story of Antonio Vargas, the Filipino journalist and also immigration activist, and he was he put together a documentary called Documented. And I couldn't help but notice in one of the scenes, you know, he speaks to a couple of people who question his situation, his condition. And then he asks, the couple says, talk to Grassley, talk to Grassley. Do you know what I'm talking about, the activist who...
Yeah. But I haven't read his book or seen his documentary. I've seen it talked about on the cable television news, but that's all I've seen at this point.
Right. But he champions the cause of someone who, of others as well, but also his own, being undocumented and having lived here for a long time. If he were to knock on your door and say, help me out, follow the advice of these people who he documented in his deeds, what would you tell him?
Well, I would say that, first of all, I would remind him that we are already a very inviting nation to immigrants, because we have almost 1 million people come here every year legally. And so there can't be any accusation about Americans not wanting immigrants starting out as an immigrant nation and continuing to be an immigrant nation. We're also a nation based upon the rule of law, and I would remind him that that when you cross the border without papers, you're violating our law and not showing respect for the country you're coming to. I would also tell him that I appreciate people that want to come to this country and without papers are people I know that are well-intended to improve their family. I would even be willing to admit to him that from the standpoint of respect for religion, respect for family, and respect for hard work. I would say that we Americans have a lot to learn. But I would also remind him that if we were going to make changes in the immigration laws like he's suggesting, that that I learned from a lesson of 1986 when we thought we secured the border and legalized 3 million people, and we found out later we didn't secure the border. And then we found out as well that when you reward illegality, you get more of it. So 12 million people here are undocumented at this point. And I would say that I know the immigration system is broken. It needs to be fixed. But number one, I'm going to show people I learned from the mistake I made in 86. And the first thing I want to do before I do anything on immigration is make sure we have a secured border, not just for the sake of a secured border, but a secure border when people can know who's coming and going from our country is the very basis of sovereignty.
Thank you, Tyler and Anelia, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.